You really want to be better with your finances. You try to put money away in savings. You look for deals. You wrote out a budget once a long time ago. Yet you still overdraft from time to time and you still have debt. The truth is, managing money is not easy, but Rocket Money can help. Rocket Money shows you exactly what you're spending every month. From there, the app helps you make a budget that meets your financial goals. The app even gives you real-time alerts when you're about to go over your budget so you don't spend too much. With Rocket Money, you can also see all of your subscriptions at a glance and cancel the ones you don't want right from the app. Rocket Money can even try to get you a refund for some of the money you wasted. Plus, you can use the smart savings feature to start putting more money away. Rocket Money analyzes your accounts to determine the optimal time to stow away cash without going over your budget. Our members report that the Rocket Money app saved them more than $700 a year. Getting better with money doesn't have to be a pipe dream. Rocket Money can make it a reality. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel or download the app from the Apple App or Google Play stores.
Thanks for downloading this podcast from Love Sport Radio. For more, go to lovesportradio.com for all the latest podcasts, news, and views. Or for more, follow us at Love Sport Radio on Twitter.
We have chosen Fulham. You're listening to the Fulham Fan Show here on Love Sport with me, Charlie Hawkins, Dom Betts, Guy Barlow and George Singer from the Fulhamish podcast. We're not Barcelona. We're not Real Madrid. We are Fulham and the season is nearly upon us. Great news. Anthony Knockhart has finally signed. It's only a loan, but he scored on his debut, a free kick, albeit. We're going to be covering that all tonight. Also, a lot more in pre-season, transfer rumours and listeners' questions. But let's talk about Anthony Knockhart first, because he did score on his debut and it was a free kick. How pleased are you all with that signing?
Yeah, I mean, excellent. I think we're all expecting Sessegnon to leave probably pretty imminently. So, you know, there's a gap up front that we need to fill. And I think players like Anthony Knockhart and Caviero fill the gap perfectly. Very happy with that.
Yeah, a lot of people are saying it's like a cheat code for the Championship, Knockhart. His like return is like unreal in the past three seasons. It's something like 33 goals and 30 odd assists. And that's just so averaging 10 double figures in both the past 3 years in the Championship. I like particularly like the fans of other clubs, their reaction. It shows how scared they are, especially on our reply, like announcing it and things like that. But yeah, no, I mean, obviously he's an absolutely quality player in the Championship. I don't actually like him as a player.
Really?
No, as in, like, I think he's a horrible person. Like, he's one of the most petulant players I've ever seen in my life. And, you know, there was that red card he got last season, which is absolutely...
Is it home to Bournemouth?
Yeah, that was woeful. And I don't know, it says a lot about him as a person. And he was awful to play against because he was a diver. And I don't know. I don't like him as a person, but I'm sure he'll be a good player for us, yeah.
Does that make you feel like that's someone that you find difficult to root for then? Because someone you've got a dislike for. Now he's in a Fulham shirt. Is that all gone?
Yeah, definitely. It's completely forgot about already. But like, it was when we were linked to them, I was thinking about that. But now it's a done deal. Obviously, I'm going to give him 100% support, yeah.
Yeah. You mentioned cheat code then. You said he's got a great Championship pedigree. How pleased are you with Fulham's recruitment policy this summer?
Well, we seem to have one this summer as opposed to last summer. So I think we've looked at players and obviously securing Kearney and Mitrovic on new contracts. But you look at Ivan Caviero and you look at, obviously, Anthony Knockhart. We're buying players who we know can do it in the Championship, where even in the Championship before, we haven't really been buying players who we know can do it in the league. If you look at the likes of, we didn't know what Johansson would be like, we didn't know what Aite would be like, we didn't know what Cabano, Kamara, Rui Font. You know, there was a lot of players who were bringing into the club who we weren't sure how they're going to do, and we know these players are good enough for the Championship, but it's great having this great front three and Kearney in behind, and, you know, Johansson, McDonald, Anguissa in the midfield and all that, but our defence has always been our issue. Scoring goals for us, since we've been relegated from the Premier League the first time in 13-14, scoring goals has never been a problem. I think when we had Ross McCormack and Moussa Dembélé up front, we were like third or fourth top goal scorers in the league and still nearly end up getting relegated. So I think we have got a competent Championship defence, but we really are going to challenge for all those top two places. I think this is a great start, but then we now need to focus on sorting our defence out.
Yeah, I'd say so. And if you look at Knockhart's numbers and stats, I know, Dom, you look at those
stats
things
don't mean anything, mate.
You look at them pretty closely, as I know. he's a really good all-rounded player. So I think we tweeted out his player radar, which, Dom, I remember you finding quite interesting.
I think I told you this is the most pointless thing I've ever seen.
Yeah, you might have said that. But he's a pretty all-rounded player. He contributes creatively. He gets plenty of shots in, and also he doesn't mind attacking players. Like we're watching some highlights of his earlier. Like there's a bit of the Mahrez about him, of being out on the right, dribbling past a player, cutting inside and hitting it on his left. So I think he adds kind of like with Caballero, a new dimension of wingers who can actually attack fullbacks rather than kind of the striker/wingers or kind of the makeshift forwards we've had in recent seasons.
Do you think there is a slight issue though that, I know it's very slight and obviously tactics, we accept the 4-3-3 and he's been predominantly played being more as a right midfielder as opposed to a right winger. Do you think that poses an issue because he's not used to being that far forward? He's more used to coming from deep and pushing those runs later on.
I think it depends where he can get the space, and I think in the Premier League you probably have to drop a bit deeper to get the space because opposition fullbacks are going to be stronger. In the Championship, with more of the ball and with a fullback who's probably going to push higher up the pitch anyway, because I don't know, Brighton, would it have been like Bruno playing behind him or someone probably?
Yeah.
Not the most attacking fullback. So I think if he can combine well with whoever our right back is against probably slightly weaker opposition, then he can, you know, he can transfer that up the pitch. But I remember back when he played for Leicester, a friend of mine who's a Leicester fan was raving about him constantly, and he played in a pretty attacking role there. So I think he's got it in him. It might just take him a little while to transfer and, you know, get used to being back at the pitch a bit more.
Completely different system to the one that he's going to play for Fulham that he did at Brighton. Because I too do have a Leicester friend, and he said, you've got to watch this winger. He's absolutely fantastic. He was scoring the goals for Leicester. Didn't quite work in the Prem. It's not quite worked at Brighton, but hopefully it will work at Fulham. But this is only a loan move. Is there a view
to permanent deal? Was it like 8 or 10 million towards the end?
Yeah.
And that's what we've heard, yeah.
And I think, does he fall into the category of players who are too good for the Championship, not good enough Premier League? We don't know that. But because I think he still was decent for Brighton in the Premier League. I still think he was a very good, solid player for them.
Well, he was playing under such a defensive team, wasn't he, under Houghton? And yeah. That's the point that I was going to add to what you were saying, George, is about he's playing in a much deeper role in the Premier League. That's the way Brighton were, you know, scrapping for points, relegation battles. And in a way, that shows that he's able to do that defensive side because he had to. Like, there's no way you're going to get in Houghton's team if you're a lazy player. Even like Glenn Murray did a bit of chasing up front. I remember Knockhart, you know, tracking back constantly. He has that is in his game as well. He's not just like this kind of flair, step over player who's going to take on fullbacks. So I think that is there. And I'm really excited to see what it's like playing for a Fulham team. He's going to have the majority of possession in the Championship and going to be attacking a lot.
Yeah, I think my only concern is if he's 27 now, 28 in November, assuming it's a loan to permanent, so kind of we're obligated to trigger the permanent deal, we'd be spending 10 mil on a player who'd be 28, turning 29, and it does make you think, like, you know, they're probably in the prime of their, you know, performance. They're only going to go downhill from there. That's quite a lot of money to invest in a player you're not going to get much return in, which
I kind of disagree. Because I don't know, like, as if you look at that level of money in the Championship, that's cheap compared to like what Assan Belonga's gone for in the past.
Well, thing we bought and sold McCormack for more.
Yeah, exactly.
It's very cheap considering if you get promoted to the Premier League and the money, the way that market's going, 10 million could be a snip.
Exactly. And I know he's like turning 28.
Well, if you look at it this way, Tyrone Mings went for twice the price.
Yeah. And he's a centre back.
Yeah. Well, that's Aston Villa though, right?
Yeah, yeah. That's Aston Villa.
Well, if Aston Villa come knocking a year from now and we get promoted and they want to buy him for 20 million.
Yeah,
crack on, go for it.
I read the loan fee's quite high, actually.
I read that if we don't take up the option to buy him, the loan fee then is £4 million for the year.
Which is quite a lot.
It's a very big loan fee, but then if you do end up getting promoted, it's a gamble worth taking.
After listening to you three on this podcast, I know that throughout the season you was disappointed at a few things, the way Fulham handled, you know, the tickets and the stands, one of them was closing, you was waiting on answers, you never got it, the last minute transfer buyers last year. Are you now pleased that things seem to be getting done a lot earlier this season? Mitrovic has been locked up, now you have Knockhart, Scott Parker's in place, Tony Khan, you had that great interview with him. Does it feel like things are actually heading in a better direction this season?
I think it always does when you're in the Championship. I think the Premier League just because you're going to be winning more games. I think there's a more positive atmosphere because, you know, what you say this when the transfer business was getting done a lot of summer, loads of people were praising Tony Khan for his business. I think, but Tony Khan wants to be loved by the fans. I think that's an important thing. He wants to feel like he's part of the club, and he's done very, very well so far. And again, it is very weird at the moment because usually in transfer windows we are linked with loads of random players you've never heard of. We're not this summer, but I mean, most players we have been strongly linked with, we've ended up buying, the likes of Ivan Carriera, the likes of Anthony Knockhart, and I think we're going in the right direction. And you know, if you look at when we got playoffs for the first time, when we lost to Reading in the semi-finals, that no one was expecting in that season. So it's a weird season because everyone's kind of expecting a lot. Obviously, everyone was expecting a lot last time when we lost, and then we ended up getting promoted in the playoff final, but. It's a weird season that we are expected to be challenging for those top two places.
Yeah, it doesn't feel right. It doesn't feel natural. Like, I think as Fulham fans, we quite like being the underdogs and, you know, being that kind of scrappy little team that punches above their weight. And now the expectation is high. We're expected to, you know, finish in the top two. But I think it's a nice change seeing these players come in early because we're starting to see how they work. We're starting to see where they combine well and where they don't. And I think that was one of the big issues last season of we brought lots of players in who are great on paper, but when you put them all in a team, we really struggled to find that balance, specifically in midfield, of, you know, having the defensive grit. And now having these guys in earlier, we get to see them earlier. Scott Parker actually sees them in front of his own eyes, how they combine with his other guys, and they've got a bit of time to react now. So I think it's a really clever bit of clever couple of deals for those two. Bring them on loan, pretty low risk, and now we've got time to work out where we want to add as well. Yeah, I couldn't be happier, really.
Yeah, I agree. There haven't been that many mad links. Dom's right. I guess more of the links have been players leaving the club, like Seri. That was, I don't know, and Sessegnon, which we'll talk about later again, and even Bessinelli, which we'll talk about later, but. It has been relatively calm. In the interview that Fulhamish did with Tony Khan, he did say that, you know, we're going to get our own house in order, and he's done that. And now we can crack on. I think we probably are waiting for Sessegnon money, perhaps, before we maybe do something on deadline day or bring in extra bodies. I mean, I kind of agree with Dom about maybe some more bodies in defence would be good, like Ream and Odoi. Probably are good enough for the Championship still, but they are getting on a bit. And Mawson, hopefully, can play all 46 games because he's a quality player. But yeah, hopefully defensively we can strengthen, particularly centre-back and right-back. But I think elsewhere in the pitch, we're absolutely fine, to be honest.
You mentioned getting your house in order then and how important that is. Do you feel like being relegated from the Prem, although it's never nice, there is lessons to be learned there, how you go about the Prem, how you go about your transfer business. We've seen it with Burnley. They went down, then they come back. Now they're better for it. Can Fulham sort of follow that model?
I'd like to see that, and I think that's why the Khans are investing in keeping the spine of the team. So that's what Burnley did so well. They went back up, even though slightly different to us. They didn't spend as much money, but they improved slowly, came back down, improved again. And when they went up the final time, they had a really good, solid core to their squad, which they could just keep. And obviously, we've invested a lot of money up front to, you know, the first time we've got up, but we have kept a lot of those guys. And assuming we can get promoted again at the first time of asking, we've got a team there who have been together for 2-3 years. And that's when you get a really kind of solid core team there. I guess the issue is it feels like this is the one real year we've got to go and get promoted immediately. Because if we don't, players like Kearney, players like Mitrovic, Mawson, are they really going to want to play two seasons in the Championship? I'm not quite sure. So I think if we can get bounced back up straight away, wicked, and I think we'll have a much better show in the Prem. But if we don't, it could quickly spiral. So that's something we need to watch out for.
Well, we've been talking about Anthony Knockhart signing. We've been talking about transfers coming in. And next, we're going to be looking about how those players have been faring in pre-season. You're listening to the Fulham Fan Show here on Love Sport with me, Charlie Hawkins, and I'm joined by Dom Betts, Guy Barlow, and George Singer from the Fulhamish podcast. Now, we were just talking about Anthony Knockhart signed. And he scored on his debut. We're going to be talking pre-season now. And there's been a mixed bag of results. There was a few losses on the bounce, but picked up a win and a draw. How are we feeling about pre-season so far?
Yeah, I mean, as everyone knows, pre-season really isn't about the results. Just sort of getting the players up to match fitness, trying different sort of tactical systems. I mean, one, if I'm going to use an example to explain how bad this or how unimportant results are, I remember there's one game, I think it was the pre-season of 2013. It's probably not the best example because we got relegated that season. But there was, I remember, I think it was the second half away to Werder Bremen. We were pretty much, our players were pretty much told to just not leave their half. And so I don't really think it really matters, but we did get that win against Brighton on the weekend at Aldershot. Kearney scored the most Tom Kearney goal I think I've ever seen, just cutting on his left foot outside the box and curling it into the far post. But it was good to just get that win in, so we didn't end up having like 7 losses in pre-season this year after losses to Cambridge, Burnley, Porto. It was, and then obviously the 1-1 draw with Oxford yesterday. Me and George obviously just, we watched the highlights just before we came on air, and you know we looked solid going forward, and then at the back still a bit of a mess.
Yeah, I mean, for that one in particular, obviously it was great to see Knockhart get his free kick. But yeah, conceding again from a set piece, it just feels like that's a continual issue that we've had for years and years. Like, I don't know what it is.
Yeah, I don't remember a Fulham team good at defending set pieces.
Something about having that little FFC badge on your shirt just makes you bad at defending set pieces, I think.
We're always bad at defending set pieces and bad at scoring from set pieces.
I've got to say, I did watch the highlights earlier, and I'm really liking the new kit. You've just said pre-season doesn't really matter. Players don't just want match fitness, match sharpness. A lot of fans here on Love Sport are saying pre-season don't matter. Is that really true? Is there not such a thing of momentum?
Yeah, but you look at it. If you look at the season we got promoted, we won 2 of our 7 games. So it feels like every time we've done really well in pre-season, a really terrible season has followed it. It may be the exception to the rules when we got playoff semi-finals, when we had a really solid pre-season that year. But yeah, it's seeing glimpses from certain players, seeing players you wouldn't usually see, like some, obviously the youth players come along a lot of time, you see what we could possibly expect from them in the cup games or coming off the bench. So, but yeah, you do want to get the results, but I think, yeah, it's nice to see who Scott Parker is choosing in his squads, because then it gives you an idea of who could be in the squad in the future.
Well, this is it, more so than other years. Surely, Guy and George, this matters so much more because it is Scott Parker's first full season in charge. We want to see a little bit more in pre-season.
Yeah, and I think when looking at pre-season games, obviously with a lot of it, the lineup changes so much. Quite often at half-time, you switch half the players out anyway. So it's probably better to, like, you know, look at bits in isolation. And I think we've seen good parts, like seeing us compete fairly well against Brighton, obviously a Premier League team who put out a strong squad, and seeing us do pretty strongly against them is good. But yeah, I think it's not necessarily critical that we have to get off to a flyer and get the points off early in the board, because we saw in our promotion season by, what, like January time, we were like pretty far down the bottom of the table. So it's not crucial, but I think for a, you know, an inexperienced manager, an early start and building some momentum would be
valuable. you don't like, both times we got in the playoffs, you don't want to be playing catch up in the second half of the season, because like if you go on a 23 game unbeaten run in the championship, you'd expect yourself to be in the top two, and if it did go an extra game or two, we probably would have finished second. But yeah, we want to be starting off on the front foot, starting off the season really, really well, just because you want to be the one leading the rest of teams. You don't want to be the pressure to be on you to catch the other teams. You want to be the one leading the pack, and I think that's important for us this season, because yes, we've been good at playing catch up before, but I think it's just a poor way of going about things, and we've definitely got the team to take the lead by the scruff of the neck.
Well, you mentioned there, Jules, that you did play Brighton, a Premier League team. You've got one pre-season friendly left. It's against West Ham at the Cottage. What do you want to see, and what are you going to expect?
I think I'd like to see the starting 11 be the one we'll open against up at Barnsley. Give them probably 45 minutes, maybe 60 minutes together. And, you know, I think we're all probably on the same page about what side that's going to be. And then for me, it's about knowing who are, you know, what our first reserves look like. So for me, knowing whether players like Steven Sessegnon are up to scratch. And I think, you know, if we can give him half a game against West Ham, that'll be a really good test for him. Because if he comes across well against what we're expecting to see, you know, a fairly strong West Ham side, and, you know, if he copes well against players like Felipe Anderson, then we can expect it will do a fairly good job in the championship. So, yeah, for me, it'll be those two, really.
Yeah, as well as like looking to see who Scott might be preferring those kind of positions, like Sessegnon at right back or Christie. I do think that was an indicator that against Brighton, Steven Sess started, didn't he? And then last night, Christie started. So that might imply that he's going to favour Steven for the season, which is great. But also, I can't believe he didn't mention Fabbri.
He's just why is he still there? Like
no,
sure.
No, you're both being rude. Come on.
Why
he's
is
a
he
Clark, still... He's a Champions League goalkeeper. How dare you?
I just don't know what he's still doing.
You're
there.
Absolute disgrace.
It's just like, why are you here? Like,
because he's a Champions League goalkeeper, that's why he's here. and he costs £5 million.
Oh, show a bit more respect on.
Yes.
Fabrizio.
I don't know what to say, really. It's a good point. I think we all...
He's got to be considered for number one.
I think we all...
I mean, on paper, he's technically our best keeper.
Of course, he is.
But we all kind of expect him to leave, though, don't we? Although we haven't really heard any rumours.
Yeah, we've expected him to leave and he just hasn't left. He's just still there.
Yeah.
But he's in all like the training pictures looking like he's having fun.
He's an absolute professional, that's
why. You're going to be buzzing when he's in goal for Barnsley away, aren't you?
Yeah, I can't believe it. Him and Jello. Oh, man, that'd be the stuff of dreams.
Guy, you mentioned then that, you know, Fulham are expected to bounce straight back up. You know, it's almost important that they do with the money side of things, the parachute payments. But you also mentioned, Jules, that you like to be underdogs, and if you're expected to go up, that doesn't help when you've got a manager who is in his first season. That's an added pressure that maybe is not one that you want or need.
No, I agree completely. I think Scott Parker is arguably the weakest part of like Fulham Football Club at the moment. Do you know what I mean? Like, our recruitment's been solid, our team looks great, but he's not experienced. And that is a worry. I know, like, experience, a lot. Sometimes too much weight is given to it, you know, where people are like, oh, you need to have someone who knows how to get out of the division. But if you look at, like, people who've done well in the Championship in the past few years, there hasn't been these kind of old dogs. Like, it's been like, I know Bielsa at least, they didn't go up last year, but Jukanovic got us up. And for every Warnock, there is a Jukanovic. So, like, it's not an impossible task he's got. And he's been given, like, the best hand to do it, you know, despite him being probably a weak link. I'm interested to see, particularly, talking about pre-season, what, like, style of play he's been going for. Because I know we're talking about fitness and it's not doesn't matter about results. But fitness does matter, but I also think the way we're playing does matter. And I'd be really interested to see in this last game of season, last game of pre-season, what happens with that.
In that sense then, Guy, doesn't that make his task harder? Because you're saying he's been given the best hand to do it, so the margin for error is much, much smaller.
Yeah, I agree. I think it's a difficult one because he has been given this great hand, and then we've got Mitrovic and Kearney, and we spoke about the front four, including Kearney. There is going to be pressure there, and the expectation is to go up, obviously. And if we don't, it's failure. I think even if we don't go up automatically, I mean, obviously the end result will be the same. But the top two is just the necessity, I think. And
you're looking at the league, and there's no runaway leaders. I think that for me, the main two challenges for us on paper starting is Leeds United and Cardiff City. Apart from that, I can't see anyone properly challenging us. Yes, you can look at the likes of Preston, you can look at like even Brentford to challenge for the top six. But when you're looking at the top two and the best teams in the league,
there's always a surprise.
Yeah, there's always a surprise because there's not like a Wolves or a Newcastle in recent years where there's been a walk away. Well, actually, Newcastle didn't end up running away the league. Same with Wolves. But you know, there's always been that dominant team, and there it doesn't really look like there is. Obviously, you can't tell with that until a month or two into the season. But I think as I said earlier, we need to hit the season on the front foot and start attacking the other teams, and hopefully we won't be playing catch up towards the end of it.
Yeah, there's almost like an old boys guard happening in the Championship. You've got Parker at Fulham, Bowyer at Charlton, and Woodgate at Middlesbrough. Do you believe you've got the best man of the bunch?
I think of those three. Lee Bowyer's done a pretty fine job at Charlton.
I would have taken him over Scott Parker.
Yeah,
I would have taken Lee Bowyer easily, just because of his experience. I think he's done an amazing job at Charlton to control his players, obviously happening with Ronan du Châtelet in the board. So, but yeah, no, I think we're getting to that stage in football where all the players, where a lot of younger fans our age would have remembered watching these players growing up, and now they're becoming managers. We're getting into that era now. You think of Steven Gerrard, you think of Frank Lampard, you know, you said Scott Parker, Lee Bowyer, Jonathan Woodgate. But yeah, it's going to be very interesting this season, because then you look at Middlesbrough, you expect them to be top six, but you honestly just don't know what you're going to get from them.
I know you've all mentioned that you don't mind it in the Championship. You prefer the Saturday 3 o'clock kickoffs. You prefer some of the trips. You just like the league in general. It's a very competitive league. But is there a sense, though, this is Fulham Football Club. We don't really want to be in the Championship. We want to be in the Premiership. We want to be in the big time. We certainly don't want to be a yo-yo club. We want to be back up there. This isn't really what you want, is it?
I don't know. I wouldn't mind doing being a yo-yo club.
I said this at the start of last season, right? I'd rather go up and down three times out of five seasons and finish 17th 5 years in a row. I'd much rather do that. Why finish 17th 5 years in a row when you're scraping to stay up for what reason? There's no success there. What enjoyment are you getting out of that? Whereas if you get promoted 3 years out of those five, yes, there's two relegations, but you're experiencing winning a league or winning a final three times in 5 years.
Fair enough, Guy.
No, I agree, actually.
With Dom or George?
No, with Dom.
Right.
I think that, especially if you look at the actual... If you think about Fulham as a club and the tradition and the size of us, like I think a yo-yo is probably about what we should be expecting anyway, you know? Like, I think... To have the expectation for us to establish ourselves as a Premier League club for decades to come is actually unrealistic, considering our fan base and everything about us. So I would agree. I'd much rather take...
I think the 13 years in the Premier League clouds people's judgment on where we actually, what we actually are as a club. But as I said, from the outside looking, you think a team would want to stay in the Premier League. But then being a fan, your best days are the days you achieve some form of success. Whereas if you're in the Premier League, let's look at a team who consistently stays up. I don't know. At the moment, you look like a Watford or a Bournemouth. Okay, Watford got to the FA Cup final last season, but if you're a Bournemouth, yes, beating Man United at home or Arsenal at home or Chelsea at home is great in that, but what difference does it make if you finish 17th or 8th or 9th? There's no difference that you feel as a fan, for me anyway. I've seen Fulham finish 7th. Yes, we got into Europe. Okay, when we finished 8th, 9th, 10th, and we finished 14th, 15th, there isn't really much of a difference. There's nothing to look forward to. Like, once you're out of the FA Cup and you know you're staying up, what's there really to look forward to?
Yeah, I'd probably agree with that. And I think looking back, the years that I've enjoyed most being a Fulham fan are the last couple of seasons in the Championship, the Europa League run. And that's kind of it. Like, what can I remember about the season we finished, like mid-table with,
yeah, let's,
with
let,
Mark
let's,
Hughes?
Let's
or
take Mark Hughes' debut season. We finished, was it, 8th or 9th?
8th.
8th. There is nothing to remember. My biggest moment from that season is West Ham at home, or I think Boxing Day.
Yeah, when
people
we lost.
Chanting Mark Hughes out. There is nothing to remember about the season, where you think about the season we got when we come on. We have all these memories. We have the Wembley final, Europa League. We have all the great wins, beating Juventus 4-1. Getting that result away at Wolfsburg, like that, you need something to remember by. Maybe look on the outside, looking at the football club, you're like, okay, yeah, this is what this team needs. But being an actual fan of the club, it's the great days out, it's the successes that you achieve that you really remember.
But this is my point. Why are you saying, oh, let's go up to the Premier League? We don't want to be 17th 3 years running. But why are we resting there? Why can't we aim higher? Why can't we go back to 8th and 9th? Why can't we go back to Europa League final? Why are you assuming that if we get back to the Premier League, we're going to finish 17th? What? Let's aim a little higher. Where are those lofty ambitions?
It's a different league from when we got to Europa League, when we were finishing in top 10, three years out of four. It was a totally different league to what it is now. Because you're so far behind the rest of the top six, and that leaves one other European place for one other team to get. And, that's 13, 14 teams competing for that, and these other teams have been in the league for God knows how long now, and they've got much bigger fan bases than us and things like that. I just think I don't think we will ever see a bigger day than what we've seen as fans already. I can't see...
Isn't that a sad thought, though, really?
It's a bit of a sad thought, but, I mean, it's all relative at the time. You're not going to be thinking about that on the day you're lifting the Championship trophy, You're going to be enjoying that. But, I'm just expanding your point quickly. Even, the gap between... So you have the top six, then the gap between 6 and 10 this season, Leicester and Wolves and Everton all making huge moves.
Newcastle got the top 10, didn't they?
We already can't even compete with them. Say we were to go up this season after, we're already looking at a bottom half, I think. And I know that's a bit pessimistic, but yeah.
But Fulham spent the money to compete with them, didn't they, last year? All right, it didn't go that way, but that was the plan, wasn't it, really?
I think that's a fair point, and I think that's maybe a slight difference between the Khans and the Al-Fayed era, that the Khans have that money and they are willing to invest it. Whether they invest it in the right way is, another argument for another day. But, I think at this point, we as fans, we're going to have a much more fun season than we did last season.
Well, you've heard it here. They're going to have a much more fun season than the Championship, and that's where they'd rather be, not 17th in the Premier League. Well, now they're in the Championship. Who are their transfer targets?
This is Love Sport.
You're listening to the Fulham Fan Show here on Love Sport with me, Charlie Hawkins, and I'm joined by Dom Betts, Guy Barlow and George Singer from the Fulhamish podcast. We've been talking a little bit about the good news. Anthony Knockhart has finally signed on a year-long loan. A little bit about pre-season, how they're not really bothered. They don't really care. It's all what happens in the Championship this upcoming season. And we are in the Championship this upcoming season. It's the place they want to be. We've made some good signings so far, but we're going to talk about a few more transfer rumours. Is the business still not over yet?
Well, I'd hope so, because our defence is still a shambles. I mean, it just Sias Christie's near the starting 11, so that needs to be sorted out.
Legend.
He just needs to go. I don't know where, just go.
Where's he going to go? Who's going to take him?
Cork City. I don't know. Join Sean Kavanagh at Shamrock Rovers.
He is as Irish as they come, isn't he? So
he won Irish Player of the Year at the age of like 25 the other year. So
Irish Young Player of the Year was.
Young Player of the Year. Yeah, he's 25.
Oh,
yeah.
Goodness. He needs to get in the bin.
It seems like a lot of Fulham rumours that are coming out in a minute are players leaving rather than players joining now.
Yeah, obviously the ones that came about yesterday was Marcus Bettinelli being linked with a move.
Marcus Bettinelli.
You can go away. put it lightly. But yeah, he was the funny thing. So he was linked with a move to Aston Villa and Bournemouth. But like the funniest thing about this article was like that he said he impressed last season. I was like, when? He played about 5 games.
He's got in the England squads. Twice.
As fourth goalkeeper.
Twice he got in the England squad.
As fourth goalkeeper.
England are ranked like, well, what ranks in the world? Top five?
Pity choice.
What do you mean pity choice? He's come through the ranks in England. He's been under 21.
I really like Bettinelli.
I do as well, apart from his name. you can just use your own surname, mate. You've got one. It's a weird move because he was one of the players we'd assume wouldn't be anywhere near leaving the club.
Yeah, but when you've got Rodak and guys like Fabbri right behind you, I mean...
What a bloke.
What is the infatuation with Fabbri, Guy? Where do you start?
Well, yeah, where do I start? He's a beautiful man to start with. He's a very good looking lad.
Handsome chap.
Yeah, very definitely. I don't know, I think it's funny that he's quite small for a goalkeeper.
Okay. Handsome and small.
Which just adds to it. I say small, he's like 6 foot, which is small for a goalkeeper.
Is it?
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah, I'd say average like 6'2", 6'3".
Well, Betts is like 6'5", I think. And Rodak's...
Definitely not this Betts.
Oh, no.
Not 6'5", just swap the numbers around and you'll get it right.
Marcus Bettinelli is 6'5", and Rodak's getting near that.
Well, is he still growing, is he?
I think so. I couldn't tell you his exact type. But he seems like a lanky goalkeeper, at least.
He does, yeah.
But anyway, back to Fabbri. I feel like he's
going to get his chance.
He's had a funny little career as well because he was a bit of a yo-yo player between La Liga and Segunda, and then he went to Turkey and they loved him there. Like if you look at all his tweets, all of the fans are like, "Come back to Beşiktaş, come back to Beşiktaş." I know that Beşiktaş fans are known for that anyway.
Yeah. But I love how much enjoyment you're getting out of the tweets that he was receiving.
Yes, because they love him. It's because he's a Champions League proven goalkeeper, and Bettinelli's in that. Neither's Rodak.
But he's an international, you just said.
He's an international squad player.
Now you're watering down the compliment. It's a pity choice you're making it seem now.
Yeah.
You're going back on yourself.
No, definitely not. I think he should start.
I think,
captain the side while we're at it.
Absolutely, yeah. I think Bettinelli to Villa or Bournemouth makes sense. I mean, we know they're both in the market for a keeper. I think Bettinelli... if he was going to really claim that number one jersey, he'd done it by now. Like he couldn't really get the jersey off David Button. He couldn't really get the jersey off Fabbri.
I forgot that man existed. Yeah. Well, that man's a Premier League goalkeeper, I think we'll find.
Yeah, no, he is.
I don't know how, but he is.
Yeah. So
Gigi Bouton.
Yeah.
I think if we had to choose to keep two out of Bettinelli, Fabbri and Rodak, I'd probably choose Fabbri and Rodak.
In what is a
please don't ever speak ever again. That is an awful opinion.
You'd rather Bettinelli than Fabbri?
I've been on Fabbri, yeah.
What? Right, and what is a long season in the Championship? 46 games. Are you worried that you don't want to lose too many players because you're going to need those players? Injury, suspensions. Yeah. It's a long season.
Marcus Bettinelli gets like a long-term injury every 5 months.
You need experienced goalkeepers in the squads. That's what.
No, but I think I've seen him get maybe 3 serious injuries while at Fulham. So ever since that time he got injured away from Hull, when we had him and Matt Smith both get severe injuries in the same game. I think we lost 2-1 and Luko scored the winner, I want to say, for them. Actually,
just quick side note. Speaking of former Fulham goalkeepers, Jesse Joranen.
He's doing bits of Copenhagen.
No, he's signed for Brescia.
Is he?
Yeah. And he's gone to Serie A. He is now a Serie A goalkeeper.
He's world class.
He's world class as well. I can't believe this.
No, because it was. I remember I was playing Football Manager, right? And I came across Copenhagen in Champions League, and it said Jay Joranen. I was like, surely not. I was like, surely I'm not playing against Jesse Joranen in the Champions League. But you know, we've lost one of our brightest ever prospects, and we have to build on from this.
Bit of context, he started Fulham's first ever game back in the Championship.
What a banter team that was.
In away at Ipswich, he was the one to start before we brought in Gabor. And then he played second fiddle to Gabor. And then Betts took over eventually that season. But then he got injured again.
And Lonergan came in, I think.
Lonergan.
Who's now playing for Liverpool.
Who knows, not a Liverpool player, Champions League winner. What is going on with former Fulham goalkeepers? It's actually insane. When I saw Lonergan on the team sheet...
Champions League is Fulham.
Yeah. When I saw Lonergan on the team sheet, I must have laughed for a good 5 minutes.
I saw Lonergan.
I think he's just training there. Yeah, I don't think he's actually signed for them.
He played for them the other day.
I was like,
he played in a trophy. That's a trophy they're playing, is it? It's International Champions Cup?
Mickey Mouse Cup.
Oh, come on. How many times do you play for Liverpool?
You got me there. We've covered keepers quite a bit. And this is another deal now that's rumbled on for quite some time. Sessegnon to Spurs looks like a done deal. How are we feeling about this?
Well, I just want to get out of the way, if I'm being perfectly honest. We've known he's been going for quite a long time.
Do you feel like he's hanging over Fulham quite a bit? I just want to...
I've said this time and time again, like, when it comes to selling players, the likes of Seri, likes of Sessegnon, I just want to get them sold so you know who's going to be in the squad next season and who's not. We suggested this question on the podcast this week that, you know, looking at our front three, you've got Caviero, you've got Mitrovic, you've got Knockhart. Does Sessegnon get in that front three over them? Because I said he doesn't.
It's a long old season. I'm gonna bang out that cliche and say he would occasionally, yes.
With Sessegnon potentially leaving him, where it looks like it will happen, is this impacting your other transfer activity?
It could be. If we're looking to bring in a marquee defender, we could be waiting for that 20...
Marquee. When you say marquee, who are you talking?
Just someone decent. No. Like someone we're going to spend like £5-10 million on. Like, I think that... Because that we were linked with Ezri Konsa, but obviously he ended up moving to Aston Villa. Yeah, I just want the Sessegnon deal to get done. Obviously, we're linked in that deal to get Joshua Onoma and Jordan Zancudu, who... I mean, a centre mid in Joshua Onoma and a winger in Jordan Zancudu. I'd say they're probably the two positions we don't need players in.
Yeah, I'd agree with that. I think they're, especially Onoma, who's more of an attacking midfielder, you know, if he was a more of a CDM kind of mould, then I'd be more interested, but he's just not. I think, obviously, centre-back, we called out here, so Levante's Kemo has been linked as well, who looks like a...
Jallo part two, I'm telling you.
We can only hope.
Like, speaking of which, isn't he still our player? He's just come back from the AFCON, isn't he?
Yeah, yeah.
So he's our marquee centre back.
Yeah.
Well, lots of potential outgoings here at Fulham, maybe before they make another signing themselves before the window closes. But next up, it's listeners' questions.
Love Sport.
Okay, it's kind of embarrassing how bad I am at budgeting.
Let me see your charges.
Ugh, fine.
You spent over $600 on takeout last month.
I can't cook. You know this.
Yes, I have had your disgusting food, but you're literally paying for a meal subscription on top of that.
Whoa, wait. That can't be right.
Look, just get Rocket Money. It shows you all of your expenses in one place and even tracks your subscriptions. And if there's a subscription you don't want, which for you, there are a lot you don't need, you can just cancel right in the app with a few taps.
So you mean I don't have to call anyone to cancel?
Nope. No hold times or anything. And they'll even try to get you a refund on some of the months of wasted money, which is a lot of money for you.
Okay.
And if you thought I was done, I'm not. The app can also help you make a budget that works for your income. Anytime you get close to your spending limits, it alerts you, so you know exactly where your money is going at all times.
All right, I'm in. What do I have to do?
Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel or download the app from the Apple or Google Play stores.
You're listening to the Fulham Fan Show here on Love Sport with me, Charlie Hawkins, and I'm joined by Don Betts, Guy Barlow and George Singer from the Fulhamish Fan Podcast. Now, we've got some listener questions in for you guys. I hope you're ready. There's a few of them.
Let them go.
Well, this is it. Dom has spoken. First one, Luca Clark. With the addition of a big footballing ego like Anthony Knockhart, do you think it will give Parker a lot more pressure to make sure he doesn't go astray?
I think, you know, that I know it was different when we brought in Alexander Mitrovic, because obviously he had one of his idols in Slavica Jokanovic there, you know, both coming from Partizan Belgrade, both Serbian, obviously. But no, I don't think his ego is going to be too much. But obviously, Guy, you mentioned earlier about his reputation for diving and things like that. I think that's what's going to annoy Fulham fans more than anything else. So I think his ego will be tameable, but I think, you know, you'd rather have to deal with that ego than not have him as a player at your club, surely.
Yeah, and I know Scott Parker is an experienced manager, but he was an experienced player, and like he was always kind of a leader in that sense, and I'm no doubt that he's dealt with like players like Knockout before as club captain, and you know, there are the stories about Parker giving team talks in most clubs he's been at, and he did captain England once as well, so like I'm pretty sure he'll be equipped enough to handle Knockout. Yeah,
I'd say the players respect him, and if you're Anthony Knockout, you're going down a league to prove yourself. I think it's unlikely he'll be throwing his toys out of the pram straight away, but I feel fairly confident Parker would know how to handle him if he does.
I think we kind of covered this next question, but I'll ask it anyway. With our team now being in the Championship top two in terms of quality on paper, do you think Scott Parker is under huge pressure to take us straight back up? Anything else other than promotion will be considered a failure and it will result in him losing his job.
You could argue the same thing with Slavica Jokanovic when he got us promoted, though. If we didn't get promoted that season would have been a failure. Because you obviously playoff semi-finals the season before, we were one of the favourites going into the campaign, so yeah, I think it's a pressure, but I think it's a welcome pressure for Scott Parker, because if he can prove his haters wrong, that, well, he doesn't necessarily have haters, but prove critics wrong who don't think he's experienced enough for the job, I think that, you know, he'll be one of the, he'll be seen as one of the next best English young managers.
Mm. Agree. And, you know, I think he's under pressure, but if you're Scott Parker, what other job would you want? Like, what other job in the Championship would you want? Like, this is the best job for him. And to be honest, if I had to choose between someone like him or someone more experienced like Steve Bruce, like, I know who I'd rather have managing us, and it's not Steve Bruce.
Again, disagree, but we'll move on.
No, guys.
I'm joking. I was making a joke about Steve Bruce, but no, I'm joking.
Mr. Blobber.
That question, excuse me, was from Matthew Chantry. This next question is from Adbron Smith. Who is going to be a high scorer next season, excluding Mitro, Cav, Kearney and Knockart?
I think Johansson. Just because in the two seasons in Championship previously, he's got, well, I think in 2016-17 he got over 10 goals. I think he got near enough the same amount of season after. So he always gets enough goals from centre and midfield, and we are going to need that. That was one of our sort of strengths when we were last season. There was goals coming from all over the park. Yes, Mitrovic scored loads and so did Sessegnon, but we had other players who would pop up. I don't think the likes of Kamara, Aite, Cabano will top Johansson.
AK is the only one who I think would top. Only if Johansson played every, like was a first-choice starter, I'd say Johansson. But I think Anguissa's probably going to take his number eight position. So if that's the case, I think Abu, in a smaller amount of games, is probably going to get more than Johansson.
Why don't we put Johansson in the false nine role again?
Oof. Oh, not again.
That worked so well last time.
Oh, that's an away game. World-class form is clearly from himself.
Next question from Richard Sol Bamba. Steve Sess, I was really impressed with him on Saturday at Aldershot. Is he a match day starter or is he just part of the match day squad?
Oh, he's a match day starter because it means Cyrus Christie won't play. So I'm happy there. And everyone wants to see Steven Sessegnon play.
Yeah, but just because everyone wants it doesn't mean it's going to happen.
But it means Cyrus Christie won't play. It's
Do
a
you think he
scenario.
Should start then, Guy?
I'm not, to be honest, I haven't seen enough of him. I've seen enough of Christie, I can tell you that. And, the only time I've seen Steven Sess play twice competitively, but they were both, like, away at Millwall in the League Cup. And then
he played, like, a centre-back in a back three day, didn't he?
Yeah. And clearly, he's a class player. Like, I bring up to when people have asked me about him, and I say that he was part of that under-17 England squad that won the World Cup. And I think he got the most assists in that tournament from right back. You know, and everyone remembers Phil Foden from that squad. But Steven Sessegnon was a crucial part of it. And clearly he is one of the still... I know he's been overshadowed by his twin brothers, but he's still one of the hottest talents in the UK. And I'm really excited to see him. He's definitely, actually... Because everything else about our squad is kind of a known entity. We know what Mitchell is like, but we don't know what Steven Sess is going to be like. And I'm actually really excited for what he can do in the Championship.
Yeah, I'd agree with that. I'd prefer...
Marriott Bonvoy is the official hotel partner of US Soccer. Join Marriott Bonvoy today to get closer to the game with exclusive perks, unforgettable experiences, and benefits that go beyond the pitch. SpringHill Suites, part of Marriott Bonvoy, offers complimentary hot breakfast and spacious all-suite accommodations, perfect for the whole team, with room for up to 6 guests. Make your next getaway a win. Learn more at springhillsuites.marriott.com.